The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, this is Michael Uslan. You're listening to Batman on Film.
I'm vengeance.
I have given a name to my pain.
We are kill
the Bat of Gotham.
I'm Batman.
Hey now, welcome to the Batman on Film Social Hour. I am the host of this here episode, and I am the founder of Batman on Film, Bill Jett Ramey. And with me is my friend from New Jersey. Had a bunch of damn snow this last week, huh?
Yeah, just busy, still busy shoveling out. I'm gonna go shovel out some space for the mailman because God knows he can't reach to the mailbox from his car.
Yes, and this is senior BOF contributor Peter Vera. So, how are you doing, Peter?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm all right. So, just a few plugs real quick. If you like what we do here on Batman on Film, everything, the podcast, the social hours, the stories, the articles, the op-eds, whatever, everything, whole nine yards, if you want to contribute, help us chip in to keep this thing running, you go to patreon.com/Batman on Film. And, of course, Batman on Film, all of our shows are part of the Batman Podcast Network. You can find all of the shows at batmanpodcastnetwork.com. We've added two recently here. And if you want to follow the Batman Podcast Network on Twitter, it's at batpodnetwork. So there you have that. So we'll do some other plugs at the end. All right, so let's talk about this, Peter. And I may surprise some folks out there listening. I may surprise some people. I think there's some misconception about where I'm coming from on this topic. We're going to talk a little bit of Zack Snyder Justice League, and specifically the news that it will be R-rated. And my first reaction is, well, of course it is. Well, of course it is. Who thought otherwise? Who thought otherwise? What was your reaction? Just like, yeah?
The Ultimate Edition, which is the preferred edition of BVS, is R-rated. So I wasn't surprised either. To me, it just, my whole thing was, it just seems like for some of these characters, it seems out of character. You know, the Flash, Superman, seeing them in an R-rated movie is just kind of shocking to me. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily Batman. I could see Batman in an R-rated movie. Depending on the depiction of Wonder Woman, I could see it. But this version of Wonder Woman, I feel like leans more towards 77. So it's kind of shocking to me a little bit. I don't have the stance where like, oh man, I can't take my kids to see this. It just... That's not where I'm coming from, because I'm not a father. I don't have kids. I don't have to worry about that. I'm just a little just kind of surprised, because it's like, oh, that's interesting. And I don't think it's going to be anything crazy. I just think it's Batman's going to be gunning down parademons and we'll probably see a little blood. But I'm not really totally surprised. Just kind of like finally getting confirmation. You're just kind of like, oh, OK. But, you know, it is Snyder. And I feel like he never you can't say he makes kids movies to begin with. So.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, look, I wasn't surprised in the least. And I think I wrote, when I wrote the article, my subtitle was, but of course it is. And I didn't mean that as in a snide way. And a lot of people took it that way, I think. But it was like, yeah, this is what I expected. This is his vision. And I will say this, as someone who prefers filmmaker-driven comic book films, or just filmmaker I'm pro director, pro filmmaker. Okay, but in this genre, I prefer what Nolan did and what Joker.
Phillips.
Todd Phillips. Joker. I mean, even Wonder Woman both Wonder Woman films, especially the last one, especially this Wonder Woman 84, Patty Jenkins, James Wan, Tim Burton, for Pete's sake, no pun intended, Pete, with Batman Returns, which is a film I'm not particularly fond of. And I am not fond of Batman versus Superman, Batman v Superman. I'm not. It's not my cup of tea when it comes to those characters. And I'm not a fan of Mr. Snyder's take on them. Mm-hmm. But I will defend and argue that he should be able to put his vision out. Now, how this came to be, how it ultimately came to be, is a whole different other topic. Right. Okay, I got a different take on that completely. It's not so so supportive of it. So I am not one of these where I really saw people on the internet shocked that it was R-rated. And like you brought up, there was a lot of the question of, my kids can't watch this. And I was like, well, they can watch the one they put in theater. That's the irony of it is, Peter, in my opinion, is that these people were shocked that they can't let their kids watch it. Mm-hmm. But the reason why we got the theatrical cut that we did is because Warner Brothers thought Mr. Snyder's vision was too dark, too macabre, and they wanted something a little lighter. And, you know, so you've got that. It's not like these films are going to be too drastically different from, at least from a plot standpoint. There's only so much you can do, you know?
No, I think the two movies will be very similar. But, I mean, like, you know, BBS is a dark and depressing movie. And I'm someone who enjoys that movie.
Yeah.
But, like, I imagine this is going to be very similar to BBS. And yeah, it'll be that dreary and, you know, similar to the warehouse scene. There'll be blood and everything. And, I mean, we all know Steppenwolf's going to get beheaded. So I imagine that scene is pretty graphic in itself. I will say this, though, like, I think that one of the reasons we have the Justice League cut of Justice League is, and this is Chris Clow, a BOF alumni. That cut of the movie puts each character in the proper place going forward. You know, by the end of that film, a creative person can come in and take each character and go the right way. I think that this movie, you know, I think this movie is a cul-de-sac. I think this movie will end and it'll be this ending that you can't really pick up from. And, you know, it'll be like this dystopian, just miserable future, you know, and yeah. I don't know where, you know, it's kind of a blessing in disguise that this is this HBO Max thing, because if this thing came out in 2017, which I think they probably should have done. But if this was the movie that came out, like, where do you go from here? You know, it seems it's a little strange to me. So I'm so interested in seeing this thing.
I know you are. I mean, honestly,
it's so weird. Everything about it is so weird.
As someone who does not like BBS, okay, but on the, don't call me a Zack Snyder hater, because I defend the hell out of Man of Steel. I borderline love it. So, and in fact, I like most of Mr. Snyder's films. That's just didn't jive with me, you know? And so I don't want to see more of that. I didn't like the incarnation of Batman. I didn't like how Superman was portrayed.
Not alone.
And was barely in it, relatively speaking, you know?
You're the majority.
Yeah.
You know?
With, yeah. Okay.
You're not crazy, because that
well, people like yes,
are,
yeah,
why where we yeah. we are where we are, like that's the truth. That's the God's honest truth. Like people like me who like BBS are the minority. That's why you know Justice League got
but
you can two parts, and that's why it got reworked in 3 months. Like, because exactly. What I enjoyed wasn't good.
Yeah. So, but you can, you admit that you like it, but you can see that you're rational about.
I'm not in a cult.
That film, and you're rational and realistic about what happened afterwards.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And you know, we can go back and forth. You know, look, they Warner Brothers was, as soon as they started testing BVS, they were getting that that negative feedback. Mm-hmm. So they knew. I've told this story before. When I went to the press junket in Los Angeles to see it, they were extremely worried about the reaction. I had to sign a non-disclosure agreement. I could not bring my wife with me, and I always
that was the
had
first time, right?
Yeah, I'd always brought my wife to these press screenings, and they knew then, and to me the mistake was, and this is all hindsight, right? We're in a whole different place. We got the Batman coming, and we've got, I mean, DC on film is going in a completely different direction, and you know, it's been. We're talking 5 years, half a day now. And they should have pulled, in my opinion, humbly, they should have pulled a Superman Lives, which was the Superman movie that was going to be directed by Tim Burton and with Nick Cage, and just shut it down and regrouped at that point.
There's no doubt that Warner Brothers fumbled the ball here. Do you have two options? You release the damn thing, or you fire the man after BBS. And I don't know who makes those decisions. I don't know if it's Sue Jahara. I don't know if it was Emmerich, but they did the wrong decision. They should have done one of the two, and then we could have just moved on, because then there's nothing to complain about.
Yeah, when I'm at the junket in March of 2016 for BBS, they were just about to start filming Justice League.
Yeah, it started like a week after.
Of course, BBS came out. It got the reviews it got. It got the it disappointed the box. In the grand scheme of things, it made a lot of money. But this was Warner Brothers expecting a hell of a lot more money at the box office from that. It was disappointed in that regard. And they started scrambling, and they immediately started to try to change the narrative of what Justice League will be. It was going to be more of a quote unquote fun film, a little bit lighter. You saw all that, those stories.
Yeah, I remember like
pieces and stuff.
Yeah, that video they showed where everyone's smiling and Zach is sliding around.
And then they hosted a bunch of media at the set in the UK. The show, look how this is going to be fun and it's going to be cool. And
don't they usually like embargo those set visits before the movie comes out?
Came out immediately.
Yeah, so like, what is the difference between what Warner Brothers did and just like a company like Fox, who has like after X3, like that movie's not critically well received, no one really enjoyed it, but they still like went through their series of films, and eventually you get Deadpool, you get Logan, you get Days of Future Past, you get First Class, and those are like bona fide classic CBM movies, like they're hits. Even like what would the MCU be like if they stopped after Iron Man 2, which seems no one really enjoyed. You know, they kind of plowed through and they went through their struggles and they found their footing, and then eventually they got through their Avengers run. Like, what? How come like Warner Brothers is just, all right, we've got to, we should just not do this anymore. Let's just Frankenstein this movie. Like, why didn't they kind of like follow the examples of the other studios where, they made some questionable movies, but eventually down the road, even like two movies or the next movies, like those movies are hits. So it's like, why is Warner Brothers always so reactionary when it comes to these comic books?
Well, they did it. The wrong way from the beginning. They started at the end and tried to go backwards.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You do Man of Steel, which was a great setup for Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go straight. You bring an old ass Batman in for the sequel. Sequel in name only, BBS.
Right.
And then you go right to the Ultimate Justice League, and you're. The two pinnacles, Justice League, and then before that BBS, no one liked. So you were backed into a position of, okay, this vision is not working, this tone is not working. Mm-hmm. Wonder Woman was a success because I think Gal. I love the movie, and Gal is great as Wonder Woman. So. I say that's an exception to that. And it really was a Patty Jenkins film. I mean, there was a little bit of the tone of toward the, you know, the third act, you could feel the Snyder-esque, that universe from the aesthetic. But, and then later on, Aquaman makes $1 billion, and that's straight up James Wan. That's a straight up James Wan movie.
Yeah.
Because those filmmakers wanted to make the film they wanted to make without the restraints. And I think they, you know, in the meantime, they completely ruined what they could have done with Superman and specifically Henry Cavill's Superman. Ben Affleck checked out. He already had an old ass Batman, and it was not he's not beloved like Adam West, Christian Bale, Michael Keaton. As popular as he is among some fans. So I go back. If you had just, maybe they could have salvaged it by not making Justice League and saying, okay, we're going to stop here. We're not going to make Justice League. We're going to take the hit, because look how much damn money have they lost on this anyway. You know what I mean?
They've remade this movie like 3 times.
So. I know we can say technically Warner Brothers Pictures is not financing the Snyder Cut. It's HBO Max, but it's the same company and the same, you know, corporate umbrella. But it's, you know, semantics in some ways. They fucked up, man. You know?
You know what? I do think they learned their lesson, though, Warner Brothers, because I'm going to tell you why. Because this Kong vs. Godzilla movie, mm-hmm. as crazy as it is, and this is a weird kind of comparison, but they gave all these kaijus their own solo films before they put them up against each other.
Yeah.
Which makes me think they've established, like, okay, we have to do this solo movie before we do this kind of like team up stuff, if they ever get to it. And I just feel like, you know, they learned their lesson with DC before they went into this monsterverse. And that's kind of like my take. Like, we got 2 Godzilla movies and 1 Kong movie, and now they're fighting each other.
It seems now, I think we've talked about it before, I think they got their way. They found their way, and that their way is just to make the best comic book DC movie they can make.
Isn't that what Nolan told them like 10 years ago?
Yes, it's when he left Dark Knight Rises. Yeah. And hey, if some of them are technically in the same world, you know, Wonder Woman 84 and Aquaman 2 will technically exist in the same world. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then fine. Maybe some won't. You have Joker, who has nothing to do with anything else. Same goes for Matt Reeves, the Batman. I suspect that at some point, Superman will be given the Batman treatment. And I mean, they'll bring a filmmaker in and say, what's your take? Okay, we love it. Go. Don't worry about fitting it into anything. Just make a great Superman movie. And I don't mean in terms of it being dark and all that stuff. I'm just, the genesis of coming up with that Superman movie. So, Zack Snyder's Justice League is R-rated. That's perfectly fine. I'll defend his right to make the movie. I'll defend Todd Phillips' right to make an R-rated Joker. I'm on board with Logan. I'm on board with Deadpool. That's fine. Same way, I think Shazam should have been straight up PG, but that, you know, that's nitpicking. Maybe I don't want to see an R-rated Batman film, but I'd be open to it. I'm not going to dismiss it just because it's R-rated. I think PG-13 is fine. The bottom line is, I don't think we have to make a film, these comic book films, and make them, they're accessible to all ages. Every single one of them. Yes? No? Maybe? Pete?
No, I agree with you. I'm all about giving the director the freedom to make their movie how they want to do it. If I agree with it, I agree with it. You know, I'll judge it when I see it. But if I think something's out of character, I'll just say about it. You know, I mean, I'm sure that'll put me some danger in Twitter, but...
Whatever.
Speaking of...
So, and also, you know, speaking of the... just the ratings, I mean... There's an argument to be made where you go, well, I want to take my kid to see this. And I understand, I have 3 kids, whether they're not kids anymore, but there are things for younger kids that are conduits into Batman, like Lego Batman movie.
Batman Forever.
I mean, some of the animated stuff that mm-hmm. they do nowadays. And and hasn't the genre grown to a point to where we don't have to say it's, you know, these are just for kids, you know?
Well, I think comic book, I say that about comic book stuff in general. I mean, I go to the comic book shop and I don't ever see, I rarely see kids in comic book stores.
Yeah.
Mostly because kids can't afford comic books now. They're about, five, you know, if AT&T has their way, they're going to be $8 anthology books. So like, what kid can afford to buy those to begin with? It's mostly grown men and it's, you know, fanboys and fangirls. So, you know, it's always been the assumption that because these things are drawn because they are animated, that they're kids stuff. Mm-hmm. And, they do have deeper meanings, and I think, you know, post Dark Knight Returns, I think we are in a different era of comic book genre creativity. So,
well, it's something that Michael Uslan fought when he was trying to get Batman 89 made.
Yes.
Was he was told by studio after studio, "That's for kids. No one's going to want to see this." You know,
it's so like please, so don't, it's like the genre has been typecast.
Yeah. So don't, you know, don't pigeonhole it as like it's got to be for all ages. Well, then you defeat the purpose of wanting to be taken seriously. You know. We want to be taken serious. We're fans of this stuff. We want to be taken serious. So that comes with it, you know? I think it's part of the deal. Yeah.
It's been an uphill battle. You
know? Yeah. So what are you going to plug real quick?
Just follow my social media handles on Instagram, Twitter, and Zack Snyder's favorite Vero at Pete Illustrated. Follow my show that I co-host with the champion of Long Island, Eric Holzman, on Instagram and Twitter, _O_G. Read my reviews of Man Bat, Dark Detective, Detective Comics. I do toy reviews all for Batman on Film. Check those out. And I might have a new pop review that I have to send in shortly.
Oh, okay. Good. I enjoy those. So you can follow me on Twitter at Batman on Film. If you want to follow just the Batman on Film news feed, it's at the Batman on Film. We got some good stuff coming up. I got two interviews coming. I'll keep them under wraps for right now, and they'll be on podcasts. So Pete is a regular on the podcast, so you'll be able to. Pete, do you know who it is yet?
Oh,
I know who it is.
I know both of them.
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Nobody does more digging than I do.
Okay. Lee Bermejo is going to be the guest on the next Batman on Film podcast. To talk about his book, The Art of Lee Bermejo. You have that book yet?
I do not have that book.
It's awesome. I ordered it from Amazon.
I'll have to get it on Amazon. I got Prime.
And we're going to have also at some point here, probably next week, Sean O'Connell, correct? Sean O'Connell, if I didn't butcher that, sir. He is the author of the upcoming Zack Snyder cut hashtag movement book. And he's going to discuss that with the guys here at Batman on Film. So that's all I got. Peter, anything else?
No, that's it. I'm good.
All right. So for Peter, I'm Bill. Batman on Film, authoritative, definitive.
The dadgum original.
All right. We'll catch you next time.
You have been listening to the official podcast of the one and only Batman on Film website. On Twitter, follow BOF at Batman on Film and the Batman Podcast Network at BatPod Network. For Jet and everyone at Batman on Film, I'm announcer Rachel. Thanks for listening to the authoritative, definitive, the original Batman on Film.